Canadian Sports Bet Podcast. It's March 8th. Let's get rolling. Hey now, welcome everybody to the Canadian Sports Bet Podcast. We are on the cusp of a new move, a big step forward for us as an organization, John. We're thrilled about it. Good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm fine, Matt. How are things with you? It's a nice March day in Toronto.
We have some developments with the podcast. We touched on it last time. We don't want to get into any details now, but just suffice to say some things are in the works, John.
I got to say it, Matt. I'm going to say something. No, I won't. It's very exciting, though.
Yes, exactly. So we have to run through a bunch of stuff today. We're going to get into the announcement by the NFL of the suspension of Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley for betting on sports. Can you spell hypocrisy? Is there a C at the end, John, or an S? I'm not sure, but can you spell hypocrisy? Like, we're going to get into that. Or is it? Or is it consistent ethical behavior on both sides? Let's, or at least one side. Let's see what John has to say about that, and maybe I have a thought or two on it. Secondly, we've got to talk about the Leafs and some NHL stuff, Austin Matthews' MVP push, and of course, we're excited to see the Calgary Flames run. We've got the Kraken in town tonight, coming back from Columbus. The Leafs are, but they're on a roll. The team's playing well. We want to look at their prospects for tonight and for the Cup generally. Then we're going to get into some golf. It's golf season, John. Prime golf season is upon us. The Masters is just a few weeks away. We got the big lead-up tournament, maybe the biggest tournament prior to the Masters, which is the Players' Championship or the TPC at Sawgrass. You got that cool island green. We got some favorites for that to look at, and we got some how to bet on golf discussion with the Master, John. It's going to take us through some of the fundamentals there. Then we got a little bit of NBA futures talk towards the end and a couple other odds and ends that we want to get through. But we want to remind everyone, before we start with that countdown of critical issues, John, we want to remind everyone, if you're not following us on Twitter, why not? That's what I want to know, John. If you're listening right now, we're thrilled you're part of the audience, but go to Twitter and hit follow. We are at Canadian Betting. You can't miss it. We're the Canadian Sports Bet Podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, whatever directory you like, we're there, iTunes, Spotify, etc. And we are the OG. We are the Canadian Sports Bet Podcast. Remember to become a subscriber on iTunes. Don't just go there and listen. Don't just hit on the Twitter release. Of course, we want you to do that, but we also want you to go to iTunes, become a follower, so each episode automatically uploads to your device. That helps us out on our analytics and our potential avenues for monetization, John. You like that big word that people used to like, that people like to use, rather, in the podcast game? Monetization, John. Hit me. What is it?
Well, you know, it's every word out of our mouths should be paid for. So, well, I granularize it. That's a term, right?
I like it.
You know, it's reducing thing to the lowest common denominator. It's saying, hey, if you guys enjoy this, you know, there's an idea that there's some commerce that's available to all of us. And that's what podcasts are, right? And that's we will provide this content, and theoretically, one should get paid for that content. Certainly suffices for now.
Yes, so that is a good summary of what monetization can be in this context. Thank you, John. But let's get rolling right into this suspension of Calvin Ridley. We mentioned for a bet that he placed while he was out he wasn't playing. I think it was for mental health reasons. He was not in Atlanta. I think he was in Florida. Used his phone to make a $1,500, which may be a lot of money to some people, not a lot of money to Calvin Ridley or anyone else in the NFL. $1,500 bet on his team, which he was away from at the time, but on his team, the Atlanta Falcons, to win. So it's against the rules. It's black and white. It's binary. You're not allowed to do it as a player. You're not allowed to bet on the NFL. However, the hypocrisy piece of it comes into it when, how much money is the NFL as a league currently generating? How much revenue is there from sports betting initiatives and partnerships with sports books and so on? It's approaching the billions. So at the low end of the scale of estimates, around for 2021 season, it was around $300 million the NFL as a league took in. They announced sort of operator partnerships and then sportsbook partnerships. There's naming rights agreements for venues now what is it, the New Orleans venue, John, the Superdome or whatever it is now going to be the Caesars cash box, whatever it's going to be, hundreds of millions of dollars flowing in all directions from sports betting. You can't turn around without an ad. You've talked about like the number where they have like the maximum number that can be run in the course of a game,
yep.
Sportsbook ads. But it's everywhere. We all know that. That's why we're here to talk about it. And in most respects, it's a positive thing. The proliferation of sports betting and sports betting commerce throughout professional sports and going from a black market or a gray market to a white market is generally a positive thing for the reasons that we've touched on. It's already happening. This revenue is already being generated. It's just who's benefiting from it. So that's what we're trying to change. So we're trying to generate that revenue in the public interest, so it offsets tax obligations that we otherwise have to fund all of our public programs like schools and hospitals and all of our public works and so on. All of that money will be flowing into government coffers instead of into the black market and into private ownership hands, which benefits far fewer people. So much more positive trajectory for the sports betting industry, and we feel good about that movement. But in the interim, as we make that transition, are there some inconsistencies in the way that we approach these things, John, as far as how the NFL treats it, how they have regulations that may be slightly outdated from an ethical standpoint, given their stance on sports betting? How do you walk that line? It's a little bit of a double-edged sword, to say the least, isn't it, John? So yeah. We like that it's coming around. We like that it's being legalized. We like the transfer to the white market. Do some of the restrictions on player involvement in sports betting need to be updated, in your opinion, or are they fine right where they are?
Right. So ultimately, Matt, we're in a growing pains period with regards to sports betting on this continent. So I think this type of incident will help it along. Okay, now that's looking at it from a macro point of view. Can you have players betting on football? Okay, I think context is the most critical thing. I think every single one of us that just enjoys betting sports and perhaps involved in the sports betting business is understands that. That's what it is. You can't have players manipulating games or using insider knowledge to bet games. But, and this is where the crux of a point is, you can't have owners also doing that same thing either. If it's true that this Donald Ross, the Miami owner, told Flores and the Miami management not to win games, to tank, that's the same thing as a player manipulating games. Anyways, that's the macro point of view, and I think some of those things will get solved as the months and years go by. Now, cut to the chase on Calvin Ridley. Did he do anything really wrong from a societal perspective? Okay, all he did was he bet the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, he bet them in parlays, for crying out loud, Matt. You know, 3-team, 5-team, 8-team parlay, so all for $500 each.
Yeah,
you know, like, so what? It's clear that he's just being entertained by sports betting or football betting.
John, but you made a good point though about insider information, right? So that's where it becomes difficult, because there is a question that holds some weight in my view, and which you've raised, which is, hold on, if I'm betting on my team to win, how is that wrong? Other than that factor, right, which you just mentioned, and it's a good point about inside information. Yeah. Obviously, betting on your team to lose, don't need to explain why that's a bad idea, like, because it obviously is going to lead to point shaving and shifting the validity of the game generally, which will destroy not only sports betting validity for the most part, but also the league itself.
The integrity, absolutely.
But yeah, but
broadly,
so yeah,
that's, yeah, sorry, you're, that's right, Matt. Sorry, you're, broadly, you brought up a bigger point. It destroys the game. Never mind the integrity of the game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, what about the couple other things, John? You can keep going. But how do you feel about the suspension length versus some of the other transgressions by players? Whether it's PEDs, whether it's violence, an ugly topic. But let's face it, there's been a lot of that involving, or a significant amount of that involving NFL players for criminal infractions and so on. And then we've got a year-long suspension. At least, they haven't even definitively said the length of it, but at least all of the 2022 season for a $1,500 bet.
Yeah.
So that's the big one. And then the other one I'll leave to you, the identification of his improper betting was through some technology or some system that the NFL has to monitor the bets of its players and participants. And so there's a line that's being touted by the league, either directly or indirectly, that, hey, our identification of transgression software programs, operations, infrastructure that we have did its job and worked well. And this will, in fact, increase people's confidence in the ability of the NFL to curtail this type of improper betting. So the suspension length, the identification of the improper betting, hit either or both if you want, John.
The latter one is a really, really good point. It's just bull, Matt. It's just being able to raise the profile that the NFL has this type of technology. Like a year suspension? That's absurd. He's just being entertained by this kind of thing.
Okay? To win, yeah. Like, come on.
Right? It's like, here, a few parlays. You know, somebody told me, it was a funny line, says, I mean, we know he was just being entertained by this when he actually bet on the Atlanta Falcons, which is pretty funny, right? But no, to be serious, like he probably bet Atlanta, he probably bet Seattle, he probably bet the Rams. Like there was a randomness to it. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I mean, for him to get a year suspension for this, and we won't even have to go into those other things that got people in trouble, you know, things that were much uglier than sports betting entertainment. So
what kind of message is that from the league, right?
Exactly. You know, so PEDs and domestic abuse problems and things like that, saying that's not right. So the ability for the NFL to sort of say, look at how great we are. We actually noticed some player betting sports. It makes them look stupid for thinking that this was the problem with sports betting. Some player that's not even part of the game, and it was just trying to be entertained to enjoy himself on this time away, would be a problem for the NFL. That's absurd. If he was in a game plan inside a game planning room and decided that, you know, he's gonna go off for eight receptions for 150 yards and score two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he bets
the over on himself.
Receptions. Right. Okay. Then fine. Laugh. Do something. But it's quite clear that this is not that. Yeah. And it's you said it right off the top, Matt. Hypocrisy of the NFL, and it's just, you know, the EPL and these other sort of European sports entities have been going through this kind of thing for literally two decades, and all of a sudden the NFL has this. You know, this idea that it knows what it's doing with its gambling, it's just to gain a profile in all of this. Now, last point I'll make on this, Matt, is like what he did was absolutely dumb. Okay,
why? What was he thinking? Like he didn't know, or like what?
Right. So
I'm being serious. Like, what do you think?
What was he thinking? No, he was. I'll tell you what he's thinking. He was just trying to be entertained.
But why would he not know that it was a stupid thing?
It's like, just a loss of, and you see him on Twitter. He's making light of it, saying, "Oh,
the rule.
I got my year." You know,
yeah.
Like what? Why?
He's
why
like, would he lol, do it? It was only $1,500, and it's like, yeah. Well, yeah, but you lost
$10 million, whatever it is, right?
Same for his salary loss.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
yeah. So like, where's his agent? Where's his Seriously. Public relations person? Whomever? Where's his family?
Where's his common sense? Yes.
Right. So all of these things are sort of rounding into that kind of idea, and that's, I mean, you can't legislate stupidity, right? But
you can try,
right? But in this case, it's just the crux of this is important for any sort of listener and sports betting enthusiast from an entertainment point of view. This is not insider knowledge or insider betting, and so this is just a guy that made a really dumb error in trying to be entertained by betting football. He shouldn't have been doing that. You know, do they go to Vegas all the time and bet other sports? I'm sure people do, you know, but we've heard Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. They've done it all the time. They bet horses, Dennis Rodman, right? So Calvin Ridley doesn't know anything that you don't know. And if he does, and he is still betting, he's doubly stupid, okay?
And this is, yeah, good stuff. And then does this, in fact, enhance confidence in the public generally, or even legislators, for there's a new state every day with its legalizing sports betting. Mm-hmm. Does this, in fact, enhance the confidence of regulators in the system's ability to avoid scandals around match fixing and other improprieties, bribery schemes, point shaving, et cetera, and some of those things? And those are a legitimate concern that you hear in the media around the discussions on sports betting legalization. So maybe this sort of sends a positive message from the NFL. Maybe their awareness of that messaging value increased the size of the suspension and the penalty. Who knows? Distinct possibility that that's the case in my mind. But let's keep going, John. We got a lot to get through today.
Yep.
We wanted to hit on our Maple Leafs. They are bounced back from a couple losses. It looked good against the Blue Jackets last night, although they did surrender another 3-goal lead. Mm-hmm. What's with them blowing 3-1 leads and 3-0 leads? But they managed to push through that and come up with, I think, a 5-3 win, was it, John?
5-4.
Yeah. 5-4. Yeah. That's right. They got the goal in the last minute. But they host the Kraken tonight, the Seattle Kraken tonight. Auston Matthews got his 40th goal. I think he's like the fourth fastest to 40 goals in franchise history last night. Number one, Frank Mahomlich, John. I was looking at the updated odds for, we're going to talk about the Kraken game tonight and the Leafs generally and their future odds for Stanley Cup championship. But just briefly, I was looking at updated odds for MVP. I like to watch it move. It's fun. It's amusing to me. So we've got currently, as of today, on the book I was looking at, Connor McDavid's down to plus 240, John. The gap is narrowing. Auston Matthews second at plus 300. Ovechkin back at plus 600. Johnny Gaudreau is sliding up into the discussion for the surging Calgary Flames. I wanted to mention the Flames. Again, you and I have talked about that in the last episode, but we'll circle back to that. What do you think about the performance against the Blue Jackets, John? What do you think about the Kraken tonight? Mm-hmm. I've got some notes here about some interesting trends on tonight's game, but why don't you hit us with your take?
I mean, listen, they just have to mop up with this win. Okay, you're going to lay $3 or something for the Leafs to win the game. And I think the game last night was one of those games that they got bored in the end, which is weird, right? A team like that, who has got a clear talent edge, should not be bored, especially with their sort of rocky form. So, I mean, they better not do that tonight, because somebody will jump up and beat them. And they have to start getting steeled to these games and winning when they're winning 4-1 to actually produce and finish off these games strong. My end around to all of this is, okay, so what? They've lost. They gave up a 3-goal lead. If they do it for the next 3 games, that's a worry. But if they're able to tighten up into mid-March and into April, I mean, that will prepare them nicely for the playoffs. So I'll defer to you on some of the other stats that you bring up.
You want me to hit you with them, and then you can keep going? You want to do that?
Yeah.
So just, you know this already. So Seattle, 1-9 straight up in their last 10 games, John. Mm. Bit of a rough patch. The Kraken are 0-6 straight up in their last 6 road games. 2-10 straight up in their last 12 games this season. So things aren't going well. One interesting thing, I was looking at the over on this, John. So the total for Seattle Kraken games, total's gone over in 8 of their last 12 games. The total for tonight, relatively high, I thought, at 6.5, John. So a bit of an offensive breakout they're expecting. Seattle averaging on offense, averaging 1.64 goals a game, John. While the Leafs are at 2.23. Ranking-wise, you see the Kraken, not surprisingly, in their initial season, they're 26th overall in goals for the Leafs, up at 6th. Leafs rank 7th in shots per game. Seattle near the bottom at 31st. So you can see big disparity here. You mentioned that it's a expensive play on the Leafs, though, right? I see minus 270 at the line I'm looking at. There's probably some range there. So what do you think on the over-under? And why don't you keep going, John, in the game generally in your pick?
Yeah. You know, like, you bring up a really good point. Like, the 6.5 number is not because that Seattle is going to score 3 goals, okay? Right. If you really think that, there's lots of ways to cash on that ticket. All right. It's clearly that the Leafs are going to score 4 goals. And there's so many ways that you could bet the Leafs specifically to score many goals. And there's something called team totals. Okay. I don't think we've talked about it that much on our pod, but there you can actually bet the number of goals over or under. And specifically, too, which doesn't do much for me, but over under the number of goals that a team scores. So if you think that the Leafs are actually going to go score four goals, okay, which is a lot of goals, okay, but the total is 6.5, so they think it's going to be a 4-3, 5-3 kind of victory, that means the Leafs are going to score four goals. Mm-hmm. So why lay 275 when you can lay, just one random betting operator, you can bet the team who's going to score four goals first, okay? Hmm. Well, okay, the Leafs are going to score four goals. Why lay minus 275 when you can lay minus 105 with the Leafs? In other words, for your 105 units, you can net 100 units, right? Hmm. So you lose, it'd be 105 units. Why lay $3 or minus 275 when you can lose that if Seattle somehow wins? So you look for those kinds of little edges. Derivative markets is what they're called, to try and cash a few tickets.
So that's a prop then? Would that be a prop? Yeah. So derivative markets, not available at ProLine Plus yet for the most part, but coming shortly. Clock is ticking, right, John? It's only 3 weeks away or something, just over a month.
April 4, right? Yeah. The product, remember, the product offerings come April 4 are going to be substantial, right? So we are talking gray market. I will admit that, Matt. We are talking gray market.
We do it all the time.
Sorry. But it's going to be good in come May. These markets will be available to come April. Never mind May. These markets are going to be available, and it's going to be very, very cool. You know, there's ways to lay. Instead of betting $275 to win $100, you can bet a similar type bet to lay 105 units to win 100 units. That's the sort of point I'm making off of some of trends that you were citing.
I really like it, and especially when you see a team rolling more than the Leafs are on offense right now. They got one of the best power plays in the league. Matthews is healthy. He's pumping in goals every game. A 2-point night for, I think, all of Bunting, Matthews, and Marner last night. Yeah. The goaltending question is a significant one, but that doesn't relate to the prop that you just identified. So like that one. And
Leafs, John? I want to bring up one other point there. You brought up the futures board, Matt, which is great, great, really entertaining content and fun to talk about. But remember in October when we were talking about the Leafs being 9-1 to win the Stanley Cup. You can go to any board, any operator, and they're more than 9-1. Okay, they are one of the best teams in the league, and they're going to be more than 9-1. So this is the time of year to sort of capitalize on this. We talked about it at some length on the show. See, the same market that we were talking about the other day, Matt, when you liked Vancouver at 75-1.
Yeah.
Well, they're now down to 66-1.
Yeah. Can I? Right? I'm dying. I'm chomping at the bit to tell you this one, John. To your point, well, you're telling me, but let me add.
Yep.
The Flames. Okay, so 12-2 in their last 14. Johnny Gaudreau is one of the best players on the planet. Believe it or not, Tyler Toffoli. How about that trade out of Montreal? Like, that is just, I hate that stuff. Like, you know, we pull for Canadian teams. We like Montreal here. But man, they got it. I was looking at this morning. They traded him for a first round pick, top 10 protected. He was their leading scorer. They trade him to Calgary, and he's got, what, 7 goals in 10 games or something. Mm-hmm. That team's on fire, largely.
No, pardon the pun, I suppose, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Sorry.
And he's not a small part of that. Like, he's a big part of it. Obviously, love Tkachuk and Gaudreau and Mangiapane, and Lucic is a bit of a goon, but he has his presence out there. John, they're plus 2,200 on points bet. Mm-hmm. They are, you know where they rank in the power rankings on Money Puck? Number 2. They're plus 2,200 right now. They are the second, statistically, the things you like, right, John?
Individual,
the power rankings?
Individual expected goals expected goals, expected high danger chances, all those things. Calgary's at the very top of those top five lists for sure. And the most important thing, and you're stressing this, Matt, is when are they doing it? Now is the time that they're doing in the last sort of 6 weeks of the season. This is where we can identify teams that are playing well. Like, we'd laughed about it the other day. Sorry, Matt, you because your point is a really good one.
No.
Like, Vegas is 11-1. Who in their right mind would bet Vegas at 11-1? They've got an outside chance of not even making the playoffs, for crying out loud. Yeah. So they're in poor form, and I get they haven't been all that healthy. But aren't teams like Calgary better value at the price you cited? Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's crazy, and you get excited, and you just can't help but look at some of the momentum there, which is one of your favorite things. And we look at past 10 games, you can zero in past 10, past three, whatever you want to mm-hmm. do. But clearly there's some momentum there for the Flames that's very interesting. And how about the oil market right now? Is everybody kind of feeling good out in Alberta these days, John? Like everybody's getting fat on this really horrible geopolitical uncertainty or whatever you want to call it. But they're not unhappy about it. They're loving it. It's one of those rises and falls of the Alberta market. Mm-hmm. Generally, the fans are feeling good. Players are feeling good. Watch out for those Flames. Okay, we're going to keep going, John. Mm-hmm. Anything else on hockey?
No, that's good. I wanted to point out the fact that the Leafs, the Leafs have that special thing. Your Calgary point is a good one, and I think they should romp tonight.
Do you? Yeah, okay. I like your call on the over on the prop for goals scored.
Four goals. Get the Leafs to four goals. You cash your ticket.
Yeah, I like that one. All right, let's go. Players Championship. We touched on it in the open. Phil is out. Hefty. Don't call me Hefty. Tiger's out, as we all know. Bryson DeChambeau is quote-unquote injured. I don't know what he's doing. He just likes his prep and his driveline training, and it seems to be working for him. But the favorites for this week, of course, the usual suspects, John Rahm, Morikawa, Patrick Cantlie. Who else, John? I don't have the list in front of me. But
John Rahm, you got him. To cut to the chase, Matt. The only reason I wanted to bring up golf today is that it's golf time, right? The Players Championship is this weekend. The Masters is just 3 weeks away. Just in time for the Ontario market opening up.
Too. I noticed that. Right after. That? Yeah.
So it's just a nice prep. Remember, we talked about this quite a bit last summer, and that was the strokes gained piece of golf. Okay, look for those good iron players. That's a great default. Is look at the good iron players, and if you can do that, identify a few of those players, and it's. You can do this on PGAtour.com or datagolf.com, those kinds of resources. There's all kinds of that information that's there. Pick out a time frame. Usually I like doing it in the last sort of 30 days. If there's not enough rounds played, look at it from last 3 months, type of thing. And you'll see that just search by approach numbers. And strokes gained approach, and you'll see some key. Who is at the top of that near the top of that list? Scottie Scheffler. He just won last on Sunday.
Didn't he win twice in the two right, past right? Two out of three past week?
Yeah. Wow! This is predictive. So, you're kidding me. No way, Matt.
So he's a strokes gained leader on iron play.
He's third. He just happens to be third. Mm-hmm. John Rahm is second. Will Zalatoris, who's been up there in those strokes gained, up there on scoring so far this year. So these guys are at the top. So to cut to the chase, people ask for picks and give me a winner, kind of cliche. And you mean these guys like number one on this list is Will Zalatoris. Okay, he's 50-1 to win the Players Championship. Okay, John Rahm, who I do actually like this weekend, is 13-1. He is the favorite, but he is 13-1. Now he played the Arnold Palmer tournament last week, and was just moderate. He was 15th, 20th, something like that. But now he comes back to the Players Championship, a tournament that he's won before. He's 13-1. Okay, so let's skip Scottie Scheffler just for a moment. But Joaquin Niemann is fourth on this list. Okay, he's 80-1. Okay, Shane Lowry is 50-1. He's next on this list. Victor Hovland, who just missed last time, just missed on Sunday. He's sixth on this list. There is stuff here that is predictive. So bet two or three or five, doesn't matter, because you're talking about fifth guys that are 50-1 and 80-1. That's a great way to have fun, to be entertained by the golf over the next 4 days from. Obviously, from Thursday to Sunday.
All right. So on the staying with us, John. So I had a note on Rory McIlroy that I saw this morning, and I wrote it down to bring it up here. And I wanted to touch on Masters odds if we can, if you want to pull that up. But in the meantime, let me tell you about this Rory McIlroy thing I was reading. So he has quietly had one of the best stretches of his career since the second round of the FedEx Cup playoffs last year. So in August of last year, he's posted eight straight. So in eight appearances, eight straight top 15 finishes, five PGA Tour events, three on the DP World Tour. He won the Players previously in 2019. You can see the pattern. He could be in contention this week. He's currently at 20-1. You know, it wouldn't be a surprise for anyone for Rory to do well. He has needs only the Masters win to complete the career Grand Slam, so everybody knows. But still, at 20-1 for a guy that's on that much of a roll, you're the first one to point out, John, the value of recent performance and recent trends. How do you like Rory here this week? And also, and I know you're not sort of picking the winner only. You're looking at odds and value plays and so on. Mm-hmm. So how do you like Rory here? And how do you like DeChambeau and Rory and the rest of the field at the Masters coming up?
Yeah. So Rory is a notorious, I know I should be gentler than that. He's an excellent player that's got The stats you noted there, Matt, are excellent, and he's in good form and so on.
Eight straight top 15.
The problem is, if you're looking to bet in the outright market, you know he needs to win those tournaments, right? So he's always low odds. So he is not one of my favorites to play, but for top 10 and top 20 markets. Absolutely.
Which I'm assuming you can bet also, right?
Absolutely. That's what's so entertaining about all this is that, and frankly, those markets are much better. The good content is talking about who can win. Now, so when you talk about, like, you know, who can win a tournament, you've got to sort of sprinkle in top 5, top 10, top 20 markets as well, so you can cash a ticket if somebody goes crazy with the putter that beats your guy. Right, like happened with I played Victor Hovland the other day, and you know, just got beaten by an equally excellent player in Scottie Scheffler, and but if you're not betting top five markets, you got empty pockets. So that all said, Rory at 20-1 is here at the Players Championship. I would rather have him 12-1 in the Masters than 20-1 here. Mm-hmm. There's a clear sort of progression for Rory that he is just about to win a Masters to me. Mm-hmm. Right. So no, I'm looking at these long shots in the Players Championship. The only favorite I kind of like is John Rahm. And if you go into the Masters specifically, you know, the key, and we'll talk about the Masters down the road, Matt, but the key with the Masters for players to understand, or betters to understand, is how predictive previous course form is at the Masters. You know, it's the highest rated course for those that have played the Masters to repeat what they have done in the coming season, in the coming tournament.
So look at their past performance at Augusta and fold that in. Yep.
There you go. So if a player doesn't play particularly well at Augusta, I mean, he might be a toss unless they've worked on trying to be better at Augusta. But, you know, like, you look at those guys that have played well, even old timers, like, and I say that with deference, of course, like a guy like Freddie Couples, Matt.
All due respect. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Right? You know, a guy like Freddie Couples, like, you know, I mean, Bernard Langer, you know, these guys can't hit it out there anymore, but you see them hanging around, they end up being -1, -2. I'd get the winner as -8 or whatever. But so anyways, it's a rambling way of saying, hey, view Augusta as a, you know, repeat course form, but momentum, recent momentum, the Players Championship is what starts it. Look at what happens next week, and then you might have somebody for the Masters. The sports betting industry looks at the Masters as a very important event. Next year's tournament is posted right after this year's tournament. So it's got this really high profile within the industry.
Okay, interesting stuff, John. Thank you. Let's keep an eye on that heading into the weekend. Should be fun to watch, actually. I'm looking forward to watching some of that, even though there's so much else going on in the sports world. The NBA title odds, John. We're not going to get too deep. We're short for time, but just it's amusing to me. Do you appreciate? You go to an odds aggregator, The number one atop the Vegas odds, if you sort of average them out and look at whoever, so, you know, Bodog, MyBookie, BetOnline, whoever else, all the different books. Number one in Vegas currently, the Brooklyn Nets, who sit out of, they might be in a play-in position. They've lost 17 out of 18 or something in that range. Second, the LA Lakers, who are also fighting for a play-in spot. So Vegas, I got it, guys are injured. We all know that. And they haven't got the full team on the floor yet. Kyrie's got the vaccine mandate stuff and can't play at home, et cetera, et cetera. But still, isn't that remarkable? So people think that Brooklyn and the Lakers have a much better chance of winning than the defending champ Milwaukee Bucks, much better chance of winning than the juggernaut Golden State Warriors, although Steph and Klay can't shoot anymore, apparently. Phoenix Suns been first place. I know CP3's injured, but he's coming back. So how is Phoenix not ahead of Golden State, Milwaukee, Lakers, Brooklyn, given their performance this year? They're in the finals last year. Given if those other teams, it's like, no, we still think they're going to win, even though they have injuries, but you don't feel as strongly about the Phoenix Suns. It's fascinating, isn't it, to see? And I mean, maybe, John, what I was going to put to you was, does this make you think, well, I'll say it and give you a chance to think about it, but like, you think about public money versus sharp money and something that you would look at versus where the money's coming in, and that drives these lines much more than a really strong, fundamentally strong, sharp analysis. They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. So if you get like the bookie or the bookmaker, well, you can take over, but like the bookmaker at Bodog doesn't necessarily think what we're seeing here. He just is putting a line somewhere to balance the money on either side. Right. So public, what do you call it? Public money versus the sharp money. Yeah. Right, John. And that's what's driving these odds, right?
No, you couldn't have said it any better. There, like, that's what it is. The people still bet on LeBron James. Okay, I get he scored 56 points the other day. I get that, okay? But this is the point that one has to get driven home. You're supposed to be betting the Phoenix Suns and not the Brooklyn Nets. That's absurd that they're in the same region of odds. Come on. So that's where you capitalize on the opportunity. Now, so if you don't want to bet the Phoenix Suns as the favorite, okay, then bet the 76ers then. They're about the same odds as all three of those teams. Bet those longer shot teams because the money is available. The odds, the square odds are available. Because simply, exactly, the public is betting X, the smart player is betting Y. You want to be on the Y side, and the quicker you get to that understanding will make it better for your entertainment and your sports betting experience.
Bingo. Exactly right. It's just kind of ludicrous. I mean, it's, I don't want to waste everybody's time, but like, so Portland is ahead of Toronto. Miami and Boston are around the same. So like the likelihood, so here's, it, when you get to like 12, 13, it goes Miami, Boston, Portland, Toronto. We were just talking this morning about the return of Victor Oladipo to that Heat lineup. And who would you put ahead of? Maybe the Bucks, but I would take the Heat number one right now. I mean, we've talked about this before, but like these teams that get these free agents, like, and then they have injuries. Like, what do you think's going to happen? They're older. They've played a million games. We all know that KD's best player in the world, but he's injury prone at this stage of his career. And so I don't know. Like the Heat to me are the best team in the East. If I had to pick one in the East to win, or at least to come out of the East, I would go Miami one. I guess I don't want to
go Sixers.
implode my own point, but maybe the Nets two. Probably the Sixers three. Who am I forgetting? Obviously, the Bulls are there. John hanging around. But who else?
Celtics.
Celtics, yeah. I mean, yeah. So
I don't know. Is there any team hotter than the Celtics?
No.
538 has them as their best analytics team. They're 16 to 1.
Tatum's on fire. I don't believe as much in the rest of the team. I would take the Heat first, Nets second, Bucks third. What say you?
I say Sixers all the way. Mm. Oh, and that's not because I have them at 20-1. But anyways, the Nets argument is a really good one. You talk about they're probably going to play in a play-in game. They are definitely going to play in a play-in game. They've got extra games to play. And you know who they're going to draw, Matt? Mm. The Toronto Raptors, right?
Yep.
The Raptors finished seventh, let's say. Let's just use current standings now. Cleveland is two or three games ahead of the Raptors in sixth. Okay, the Raptors are, let's say the Raptors are seventh. The Nets could very well finish 10th, play their one play-in game, and draw the Raptors in their second game.
And then the winner of the play-in tournament, do they take on the number one seed in the East after that?
That's correct. Well,
can you imagine?
So that's what some people are speculating, that the teams are going to jockey for position at the top there.
Like not being first, so you don't have to face the Nets.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, so
what a mess,
right? So that's I mean, not to me. Like, there's too
same in the West of the Lakers, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers do nothing for me. Like, the Nets do something
with Anthony Davis back, though.
Nothing for me, Matt. I'm sorry. Like, the
are you
Lakers
bashing
are
Russell
gone
Westbrook?
Early.
Are you piling on Russell Westbrook like everybody else?
Whatever. I've said this long before now. I want no Lakers. I want no Lakers to make the playoffs. That's, to me, a bet. As soon as I see if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, and I mean the final eight, I'm willing to make that bet.
The Pelicans looking mighty strong with the potential, cross my fingers, please, with all the crap going on in the world, Major League Baseball and everything else, mm-hmm. can Zion please come back?
Yeah.
There's some speculation that he might be, since they got CJ McCollum, they're a different team.
Yep.
The Pelicans get Zion back in there, they can make some noise in the West, and that would be fun for, I think that'd be great to watch. But anyway, just wanted to bring that up. Anything else on Title Odds, John? I had one more NBA comment
nope,
that I'll
that's
save.
That's it. Let's go on and move on. Absolutely, Matt. So it's entertaining for sure. Your points about look for value for the thousandth time.
Yep.
You cannot be betting the Nets as the favorite. You can be betting the Suns as the favorite. The
Sixers are still at 18-1 on Bodog, John.
That's a bargain, you know. Like, I mean, grab them, buy. You know, on those sophisticated books, they're like plus 700 and plus 650. You know, they're like, look for value. You know, buy, if you have a Bodog account in the gray market, get them at 18-1. That's whatever market that you find those double digit odds on the single digit teams, play them, because Brooklyn is. Is sucking action, and the Lakers are sucking action. Okay, especially at single digit prices. Look for those teams that should be single digit prices, like the Philadelphias, the Milwaukees. And if you see them at 12 and 14 and 16 and 18-1, get them. That's where you have your fun and your entertainment. Especially if you handicap them that they're actually good teams. And I've heard of Joel Embiid and James Harden, Matt. So Sixers at 18-1 seem like a bargain to me.
Okay, so one thing that's sticking in my craw, John, mm-hmm. and I think you may disagree with me, but let's see.
I like that.
The Porzingis trade that's been, I don't think it's a rumor. I think it's a fact that he was shopped to the Raptors for Goran Dragic, who was parlayed into Thad Young, Thaddeus Johnson. So he was Porzingis, the unicorn from the Mavs, to the Raptors for Goran Dragic and Gary Trent Jr. So, GTJ, we love him. 22 years old, or is he 23 now? But he's an extremely young player, relatively favorable salary obligation. Porzingis' contract, I got it here, Basketball Reference. Mm-hmm. So he's owed 31 this year, 33, 22 in next season, and 36 the year after that. So big money. He is averaging almost 20 points a game. They call him the unicorn for a reason. He's 7'2 or whatever he is, and he can run the floor and lead the break and moves unlike other 7-footers ever have. He is a little injury prone. We'll give him that. But, you know, he averages close to 8 boards a game, a couple of assists, shoots 45% from the field, which is pretty good for a guy that's averaging 20 points a game, John. That's the thing, right? Like, people look at big numbers on points. And then, you know, Harden and whatever. And it's like, but how many shots is he jacking up a game, right? So, I don't know. If they put it to you today and they say, we'll give you Porzingis for Dragic and Gary Trent Jr., mm-hmm. you snap your fingers, yes or no, what would you say?
You mean I still say no, Matt?
Yeah.
I'm too much of a Gary Trent Jr. fan. You know that Malachi Flynn is older than Gary Trent Jr.?
Yeah, I know.
So
remarkably young. But yeah, he's been horrible.
Huh?
Let's be real. Gary Trent Jr. has been horrible for the past few games. Like, bad, bad.
Yeah. No.
Like, he's shooting 10% or something.
And shooting guards are always a tad overrated within the structure of the team. Like, you always want the big center. You always want the guy calling the point guard shots, that kind of thing. And we don't have to pick apart Gary Trent Jr. He has been not great. And he continues to just fire and fire and fire.
Like, bad, bad.
So, and maybe part of the reason why they haven't been very good, but essentially the reason why they haven't been very good, but like that's a young person, right, to me, a young player. So, I know I'm aware of your interest in Porzingis for a long time now, Matt.
Yeah.
And he is a difference maker type player. I don't know why he's moved on from the Knicks, and I don't know why he's moved on from the Mavs. Has he just got a mammoth salary, I guess? I don't know. Watch Washington make a run now. They'll end up winning a few games, and who knows, put themselves in the play-in picture.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see where they head with the bird rights with Bradley Beal. He's due something like $250 million. It'll be interesting to see if they keep him there. But so you're saying no to the Porzingis trade. I'm right on the fence. I would probably say yes. The Raptors mm-hmm. need a bit of a change in direction. I'm not sure where they're building towards, but why don't we save that for another show, mm-hmm. John? We're running a little long.
Yep.
Couple things quickly, John, as I look for the music for the outro. How pumped are you about going to hit you with two? Number one, NCAA tournament, and dare I say it, the USFL is upon us shortly, John. Spring football, let's do it. Jeff Fisher, we're going to be examining some of the betting angles there. We're just going into it cold. Should be wacky. Should be fun. Eight-team league. What do you got for us on coming up on our Friday show for the NCAA and then also USFL heading into the next month, John? What do you think?
I'm so pumped about both. USFL is spring football. You know, like it worked. The USFL was working back in the day. There's a great 30 for 30 on the USFL.
Trump.
It generally blames Donald Trump for it, which is an easy thing. Mind you, this was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was pre-presidency that this thing was produced. But anyways, it's not important. So with guys like Jeff Fisher and Todd Haley as part of these coaching ranks, you know, it should be okay. And we're definitely going to do some analysis of that as the spring goes by. But I'm really excited about the NCAA tournament, and whenever I bring up this conference tournament week, which is what we're currently in the middle of, you can't beat morning and afternoon basketball, college basketball.
Yeah, seriously.
It's just like
the best when it starts at noon in the turn up.
Yeah. Right, Matt? Like we get excited about this for March Madness, okay? The actual tournament. You can get prepped with these conference tournament games this week. And there's literally a game at 11 o'clock tomorrow, or maybe 10:30. Anyways, there's tournament games tomorrow morning and big time college basketball through the day, starting this afternoon, Big East and ACC and all of these sort of important college tournaments, and you can see how these teams are playing and get warmed up for the March Madness. I like talking about it because it's very much preps you for March Madness, and it's available in the afternoon when you're working and you just want to, you know, put a couple of dollars on the game to be entertained with having a, you know, watching something at the corner of your eye. You can't beat it. It's such great entertainment.
It's more like ambiance, right, John? You're Absolutely. Working away, whatever you're doing. It's just on in the background. It's just sort of white noise. You kind of tune in for the exciting points, but it's on in the background.
You're going to be doing it next week anyway, so why not start this week?
Educate yourself a little bit. That's right. It's fun. It's like what makes Thursdays fun. It's Friday Junior, right? So these like the ACC tournament, North Carolina and Duke. I see Duke's heavily favored, but that'll be entertaining, right? So,
Anyways, we'll go into it more on Friday for sure, Matt. Sorry, but we'll go more into it on Friday and just some ideas about how we can jump in there. There's a couple of great resources. KenPom.com is one. It's the most famous sort of college basketball analytics site. Bart Torvik is another one. We'll go into details about those two sites on Friday, but I just I thought I'd bring those up because
what are they again? Hit me one more.
Ken Palm is KENPOM .com. Very prominent sports betting. I'm sorry, it's actually just regular. It's a regular college basketball site, but all of sports bettors use that for their college basketball base of analytics. It's a hugely analytics rich site. Bart Torvik is a similar type site, and it's their names, Ken Pomeroy, and Bart Torvik is BARTTORVIK.com, and it's a similar type analytics site. It's got a feature on there that I really like, BPM. I've talked about it before on our show, a box score metrics that I really like, but he's got his own proprietary stuff there. To me, these are required to get yourself ready for these conference tournaments and March Madness starting next week.
All right, good stuff. So the tournament bracket show or whatever it's called. What do they call it, John? That is on Sunday.
Sunday.
Right, Sunday afternoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
This 6 coming Sunday afternoon.
Type timing, 7 o'clock.
All right,
Eastern.
So we're going to get into that on Friday of this week, but we're looking forward to that. Okay, thanks for the discussion, John. You certainly said it all. We want to remind everyone to bet responsibly, to have fun, and we are out for now, John. We'll talk to everyone later in the week. Peace.
See you, man.